Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Alleluia, Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Alleluia.
What gets your blood going? That phrase, alleluia, Christ is risen. Okay, you're going to have to work on this. My blood was really going. You're slowing it down. I can't afford that right now. Alleluia, Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Alleluia.
Okay, and then I realized I kind of snuck that one in on you kind of early, kind of before the pregnant pause that there should be before you repeat that again. But I don't know if you could tell, I was a little excited about tonight because I jumped in on Jim's first hymn. Towards the end of his introduction there. So my apologies for that. But this Easter, this Holy Week, gets my blood running. It gets me excited. It gets the adrenaline flowing. What gets the adrenaline flowing for you? How many of you are going to run tomorrow morning at 6:30 p.m. or a.m. in the rain? See, this is the brilliance of 5 o'clock worshipers right here, right here. Because you know it's going to rain, you know, you might have thought about it before that, or you might have thought about it if I said 6:30 p.m., but 6:30 a.m.? Well, I know for some of them, that really gets their adrenaline up. There's even a sense of, it's very similar to fear, this feeling right before you participate. It's that rush that you have, and that's that rush that I want to bring to you tonight, too, as these women go to the tomb. And Scripture is pretty clear about the way that they go to the tomb. They're afraid. They are afraid. They have some fear going on. If I were to ask you, what are you afraid of? Could you pick on something right away? If you were to ask my mother, what are you afraid of? I don't know if she'd admit to it right off the bat, but I can tell you what she's afraid of. She hates snakes. With a passion. How many of you remember Wild Kingdom? Yep. The snake episodes. Remember those? The big, big anaconda, you know, down in South America. If we would have told my mother a lie, if we would have lied to her and said, "No, Mom, the snake is gone now," and she came in and saw that on TV, I wouldn't be standing here today. That's how much she feared snakes. And she told us that in no uncertain terms. Don't mess with me when it comes to snakes. There's this visceral fear. So let's go to the tomb with the women. And in response to this fear, they meet and hear words. They earnestly come. Why? On this morning. Because they want to serve a friend. They want to do the honorable thing for the body of this friend, the body that carried this friend through those years of ministry that they followed him, the body into which this friend was given life at that beginning, to observe the niceties of caring for his so, so abused human body. They are Mary Magdalene and Mary, mother of James and Joseph. We don't know much about Mary, mother of James and Joseph, but we do know that Mary Magdalene was one of those who had experienced healing at the hand of this dead friend of theirs, this Jesus. She had been freed from demonic possession. And they had plenty of reason to fear. They're coming to a place of the dead. They're coming to a place that is guarded by soldiers, by males, by rough kinds of individuals. They're coming to a place that has been sealed by a Roman governor. They're coming to a place, and even their own religious leaders at this time are really their enemies. They have reason to fear. And then they have an added reason to fear, because when they come there, the stone has been rolled away. They face this one whose appearance was like lightning, his clothes as white as snow. And they also encounter not the kind of guards that they were expecting, guards standing there sternly, ready to ask them, what are they doing here at this hour of the morning, ready to challenge their mission. They come to guards who have been scared stiff, literally, scared so that they're laid out, as Scripture says, like one who is dead. And then they hear words. They hear from a compassionate God. Through his messenger, through his angel, the words, do not fear. Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid of me. I know I am otherworldly. I know I look different than anything you've ever seen before. But don't be afraid of me. And the reason? Because he has good news. Don't be afraid of the absence of his body. Why? Because this body has been raised from the dead, and this body has been enlivened again, and you don't know it yet, and I'm adding words to the angel, I realize this, and they don't know it yet, but you and I do, because we get to look in the rearview mirror and see those events through history and what has transpired since then. We know that because he is risen from the dead, that we too will rise from the dead. Hallelujah, Christ is risen. Finally, for those two ladies, do not be afraid means that they don't have to be afraid of death. And because they don't have to be afraid of death, it means that you and I don't have to be afraid of death. Perhaps in a way that it's something we've never experienced before. But we do not have to fear that death is the end game. We do not have to fear that death will be eternal separation from our loved ones. We do not have to fear death as a penalty for our sins, because Christ has paid that penalty and God has accepted that price. And the proof is in his resurrection. And so they are there earnestly, but soon that earnestness moves to something I call eagerness, because they're given a mission. The angel says, go quickly and tell his disciples that he has risen from the dead and that he's going before you to Galilee. There you will see him. Go quickly, says the angel. And what do? They depart quickly. Their earnestness is now coupled with eagerness, because there's something new on the horizon for them. There's something still, it's fear of the unknown. There's fear and there's joy. But the joy is moving their feet quickly to another place, to another time. Their mission had been to serve the dead. Their mission is now to serve with a message of life and to take that to the disciples. Go tell this news, the angel says. Go tell those who even abandoned him on Friday, even though they were close to him, they were part of that circle of his folks. In the midst of death, in the midst of suffering, in the midst of that Friday, they almost all of them leave him. Go tell them that he wants to see them. He wants to be with them. He is not turning his back on them. There's still a little fear as they part, but now they go in joy. The joy that you and I know because of what is known, that my Redeemer lives. Alleluia. Christ is risen. It is Easter. Behold, Jesus met them and said, greetings. Greetings. And this is a word of joy. This is a word of happiness. It's the way you greet one another when you arrive at Christmas. It's the way that you greet one another when you come to one another's house and you haven't seen each other for a while. Greetings. It's good to see you. It's a joy to see you, is what Jesus is conveying to these women. And they came up and they took hold of his feet and they worshiped him. And Jesus reiterates what the angel had said. And it reveals something to us about our God. And I want you to focus on this. We had a message a couple of weeks ago, one of our seminarians during our Lenten Wednesdays. And it was from Job. And in the particular scripture that he was talking about, he said this. I want you to hang on to these words. It was not only a revelation from God, it is a revelation of God. Jesus meets these women, and we have not only a revelation from God that Christ is risen and we have life in him, but there was a revelation of God here. My guess is that part of the reason the women fear is because they don't know what kind of God this really is. It's fear of the unknown. Will this be a vindictive Jesus? Perhaps floats around in their minds. Will this still be an old covenant kind of Jesus? What kind of Jesus is this to be? And we find out right away from these very first words of Jesus to these women, do not be afraid, that he is one of compassion. It is revealed about our God that our God has great compassion for us. Do not fear. Here is the God you have killed. Here is the God who was sent to redeem the world from their sins. And with that great mission, yet because he knows that these two women have fear, his first words to them are words that are meant to calm them and to give them strength and to give them joy in a God who reveals that he's also one that we can trust. Not just a revelation from God, but a revelation of God. This God is faithful to his mission. His mission to reconcile. Among his very last words were these words, it is finished. What is it? It's the mission. It's to reconcile sinful humanity to the God who created them. It's to reconcile a rebellious creation to the loving, compassionate, kind, and caring Creator who made them for fellowship with him in the first place. So deeply does God desire that, that he's willing to abandon his son on Friday and raise him up from the dead again on Sunday so that we get to know better a God who is this compassionate and has this in mind for us. A friend of mine was visited today by Jehovah's Witnesses. And the friend is a pastor. And he's working on his Easter sermon. And the witnesses wanted to talk to him about John 3:16. And a lot of you know what that text is. It's, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him would not perish but have everlasting life. And my friend Dave said, he says, you know what? I'd rather talk about these words. He is not here. He is risen from the dead. They didn't want to talk about that. You see, it's one thing to talk about God loving the world. It's one thing to receive that revelation from God that he does love us. But without the revelation of God, of a God who loves us so much that he's willing to go to a cross for us, the revelation of a God who loves us so much that he's willing to raise himself to life for us, the revelation of a God who loves us so much that he's willing to join us to him by burying us through baptism into the death of this Christ and raising us up to that new life, that revelation from God falls short. It's not the full-blown good news of Christ crucified, Christ risen. Alleluia, Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Alleluia.
It is Easter. It is a time when some of you probably gathered here eagerly. You wanted to hear the music. You wanted to hear the good news of a Christ who is risen. You wanted to speak those words, he is risen indeed. Alleluia. Some of you probably gathered here more earnestly. Eagerly and yet earnestly. Maybe mixed with just a little bit of fear. Earnestly in that you're hoping to encounter the God who says yes. You need that. You need to hear again that that's what your God says to you through the resurrection of Jesus. Maybe because there have been so many no answers in your life. Maybe so many things that are raising doubt in your life as to what kind of God it is that you actually have. You do have a God who so loved the world. And the way that he loved that world was to love that world in Christ and give him into death and raise him up to life again. Some of you may be here simply because it's Easter. Because it's what you do on Easter. You might be here because you consented. You consented to come to church with a loved one. Just to be here and, you know, do honor to their wish to celebrate this day. And if that's the case, then I'm hoping that what you hear is something more. That this is not merely a day to gather in a place that's called church. But it's a day on which the church gathers because there is one who has revealed himself to us in such a way that we know him and we love him, and in such a way that we know he goes with us. Came across a great account today. You don't know if you know this man. The man's name is Joe Cerna. The details are he was arrested for drunk driving. He had been on probation for a previous count of drunk driving. He is a military veteran. And not only a military veteran, but he's a decorated veteran. 3 tours of Afghanistan, 2 Purple Hearts. He survived an IED, that's one of those explosive devices, and a suicide bombing. He also survived what he says was the scariest of all these moments when he and a few of his fellow soldiers were driving in a military vehicle on a road that collapsed into a river, into a creek. The vehicle quickly started filling with water. All hope was lost, Cerna says. The water rose up over his body all the way to his chin before it finally stopped. Out of all the riders in the vehicle, he was the only one to make it out alive. As a result of that traumatic experience and others, he developed PTSD, post-traumatic stress disorder, and claustrophobia. And claustrophobia, which is with him to this day. The judge in the case, Judge Oliveira, knew that Cerna was wrong. He knew that he had to punish Cerna for what he had done. And he had to put him in jail at least overnight. He had to be accountable, said the judge. But I just felt I had to go with him. The judge who sentenced him to the jail cell went with him and waited out Cerna's sentence with him in the cell. The two of them stayed awake throughout the entire night, eating meatloaf and connecting over family. The walls didn't exist anymore, Cerna says. Judge Oliveira brought me back to North Carolina from being in a truck in Afghanistan. What I love about this story is that it in part is a connection to what God has done for us by giving to us Jesus to walk with us, to die for us, to rise for us. And then in a few weeks we will celebrate the fact that he makes it possible for himself to be with us. Not just with one of us, not just overnight in a jail cell, but your God, your Jesus, who is risen from the dead and reigns to all eternity, still comes to walk with you. Still comes tonight in bread and wine, his body and blood given for the forgiveness of your sins. Still comes to walk with you out those doors, his Holy Spirit indwelling you. Hallelujah, Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
May the peace of God that surpasses all understanding guard and keep your hearts and your minds through faith in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting.